studio right now, I have Glenn Falkenstein, who is the anchor and main mover and shaker on the Film Fight Club program that we have here on 2SER, who knows everything and anything about the movies coming up. Welcome to the microphone, Glenn.
Thank you. Good to be here, Rod.
I'm glad that microphone's working. it's good to be here, isn't it? It's a great day, even though it's a little bit sultry and, you know, cool.
After Sunday, that was pretty rough, so I'm okay with something a little more humid, a little more cooler.
A little bit cooler. Well, look, I'm on, so it's a bit cooler, isn't it? We've got things coming up on the program, but at the moment we're going to talk some movies. We're going to find out what's new and what's not. We've got a few coming up. Glenn, we were going to talk a bit about that Meryl Streep and what's his name? Tom Hanks, that's right.
Yeah.
His voice actually irritates me at times.
Oh, he's the most loved man in America, Tom Hanks.
Not in Des Moines where I come from. So tell us about this movie, Post?
The Post. It was originally called...
About Mail, is it?
About, we thought so. It was about the Pentagon Papers. It was originally called The Papers. Now it's called
The Washington Post.
The Washington Post, yes. This is the story of editor Ben Bradley, played by Tom Hanks, and Kay Graham, the publisher of The Post, played by Meryl Streep, according to the President of the United States, the overrated actress Meryl Streep. And it is directed by Steven Spielberg. It is about the breaking of the Pentagon Papers by The Washington Post and various other news outlets. This may sound like, you know, the best Oscar film ever, Meryl Streep, Tom Hanks, Steven Spielberg. Yeah, why don't they just piling up at the
a
door?
A great journo movie, too, about the other things.
It is a great journo movie. Yeah. It is for anyone who is involved in the fall of the state. This is intrepid, fearless journalism, and it's recounting those days in the lead up to the decision whether to publish these papers or not. And if you're a journalism student, or if you're someone who is fascinated by history, particularly this era of history, I think you will like this film a lot.
And she doesn't do any ABBA songs in this, does she, Meryl Streep?
She doesn't sing at all, but ABBA 2 is coming out. The trailer for this.
No, she's not in that, is she?
Yeah, she is. They're all coming back. It's going to be I'm actually quite looking forward to reviewing this. But this film, it's quite good. People look at it and think of All the President's Men and Spotlight, but it's actually a lot more like Bridge of Spies, the other Steven Spielberg, Tom Hanks film from a couple of years back. It's very uplifting.
I might have missed that because Tom Hanks was in it. But
A lot of Tom Hanks hate, but Forrest Gump, he's made so many great films.
Forrest Gump, I couldn't stand that one either.
Well, that's actually had a bit of
American.
It's had a bit of a shellacking in recent years. And people are saying Pulp Fiction should have won Best Picture, and it probably should have.
Oh, yeah.
But look, Tom Hanks has had a pretty decent run lately. This is only
his
latest.
Has.
And
is he one of the most bankable stars, do you know?
He is one of the most. The Rock is, I think, the most bankable star in the world. Will
really?
Smith. Yes. Yes, Will Smith was
the
at one
Rock.
Point. The Rock. Well, every single one of his films are really successful. All the Fast and Furious films, Jumanji. You think of a Rock film that hasn't done well and that you wouldn't see.
Jeez. And I was thinking, you know, like Brad Pitt or somebody.
The Brad Pitt does well, but
Dustin Hoffman, but before the incidents.
Before that, yeah. Yeah. Well, Brad Pitt, he has War
Machine.
You haven't
been kissed by Craig McLaughlin this morning, have you?
Oh, dear. Oh, getting into controversial territory there. But the Post.
You looked happy, actually. I don't know. Anyway.
that's another big one. It's been a big, interesting few weeks with the Golden Globes and all that's been happening, and the Post certainly plays into that because it is very much a pointed jab at the current White House and a couple of the politics that are going on right now. The casting of Meryl Streep is no small factor in that. And there's a number of scenes in this film where they have Richard Nixon tapes playing, and the tapes
background music.
Essentially, yeah, like there's just these dramatic, you know, moments in the film where Richard Nixon jumps in, and it's an actor playing him. At least we see the back of him, but the actual tapes of what Richard Nixon said,
and can you hear the click, 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 click as he's deleting sections?
Oh, that's what he was doing on the desk. The shot was pretty obscure. But look, this is not a pro Nixon film and not a pro Trump film either.
Click, clunk.
Wait, what's that? Wait, there's this bit missing from the tape. What's going on here? But that's what's so great. They actually went through all the Richard Nixon tapes for this film.
All of them? Gee, it's a long film then, is it?
Yeah, well, it goes for 22,000 hours. No. They went through a lot of tape to use only a few minutes, but the few minutes they chose are very particular to, I think, the current political climate, and I see why they did it.
Wow. Yeah, well, that sounds like it's going to be a surefire winner, you know. What else we got coming up?
Well, the other one we're talking about is actually another one that could do very well at the Oscars, which is Coco. which won the Golden Globe for Best Animated Feature the other day. This is Pixar's latest film.
Oh, it's not about Coco Chanel.
It's there's a lack of films about Coco Chanel.
I think there was one.
There was one. It didn't do so well.
Didn't it?
I don't think so. But this is a very different film. This is about the Mexican Day of the Dead. And
Of course,
and it's a beautiful animation. My God! And it's the first Pixar film to feature an entire Latino cast, sparing, of course, John Ratzenberger, who's in every single Pixar film, who everyone will know as Cliff Clavin from the series Cheers.
Oh, Cliff!
Yeah, he's in every Pixar film. Like, you'll recognize his voice. Like, he's always one minor character.
Has he got that dreadful Massachusetts accent all the way through?
Yep, it's the same voice. Oh. It's the same wonderful, beautiful Cliff Clavin and Storm and Norman and all that crew.
Well, people would say, you know, what's a Massachusetts accent sound like? Well, it's Cliff. It's Cliff on Cheers. He's so Massachusetts, I think. Anyway, I don't know. Could be wrong.
No, I think that's fair. Look, this is, and he's in that, but it's a wonderful cast. It's a wonderful film. It's a lot of the same beats as Up and as Frozen, so you may see a few of the twists coming, but at the same time, even if you do, they have a huge emotional punch. It's very powerful. It's about a young boy who is living in Mexico, but then is transported to the land of the dead and is trying to get back. So they have some very colorful animation flourishes, and in the same vein as Up, a beautiful little dog who is very creative and a lovely sidekick throughout, and he has some quite funny theatrics throughout the film. It's a great one to take the kids to.
And the Land of the Dead is that sort of where you go to after you've done a presidential campaign or something? Or
Oh dear! Back on the post. Yes, I can see a post Coco crossover. I don't know if that's going to happen quite.
All right.
it's Oprah. There's a lot of speculation now about whether she will, what she will do in light of her Golden Globe speech. And that was a very politicized ceremony.
Yes. Yeah. Oh well, you know, people are saying, oh well, this is all, you know, this is part of Oprah's run. Run for the president. But she's never said anything, so who knows? I mean, you know.
She's never said anything. And also, Donald Trump did you hear what he said yesterday? Has come out and said,
I know Oprah. She's a good friend of mine. There's a lot of good friends of his that actually turn out to be not so good friends.
Yeah. I'm not sure how many mates.
You know, the Bannon guy.
That's a harsh divorce right there. Wow. No, but apparently he says, no, I could beat Oprah, whatever. But we can see it's a few years. We don't know who's going to be running. Kanye might still run. Any number of others who might put their...
Well, the Donald's not getting any younger, you know. Who knows if he's going to be around?
Oh, he'll be around tweeting.
Really? Yeah, he'll be tweeting from the grave.
Tweeted us, Donald Trump.
Yes. Well, look, and what else we got? We're talking about The Shape of Water, aren't we?
The Shape of Water. Yes.
What shape is it? It goes to. I've got. Look, there it is. There, a glass of water.
Yeah, it's sort of that shape. I think it's more a metaphor
like
in the film.
Glass, isn't it? Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. Well, so it fills whatever shape, whatever its container is. Is that the idea?
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. And it's a wonderful film. It is from Guillermo del Toro, the visionary director of Pan's Labyrinth, and stars Sally Hawke. Hawkins, who people remember from the Paddington films and
the Labyrinth, that's all those fluffy toy things, is it?
Oh, it's a much darker film. Actually, Labyrinth, come to think of it, was a very dark film if you look back at it. This is the film set during the Civil War in 1938, I believe, and it's about the magical creatures that come alive in a young girl's imagination, or at least that's what is perceived to be the case. And that was quite a dark fantasy. And this is not as much a dark fantasy as an adult fantasy. And it's, ooh. Yes.
What is I was going to say something inappropriate then.
It's a fantasy like Coco, but in a sense, but not one to take the kids to.
Yeah. So when you say adult, it's not too adult.
It is adult. There are some explicit sequences, not too explicit, but it is not one for the kids, I will say.
I see. Okay. Yeah.
It's a romance with Sally Hawkins and a man who is a character who is simply built as Amphibian Man. played by Doug Jones, who people might know from the recent Star Trek series, an excellent actor who is amazing performance art in a number of films and television series.
So he may have been. Did he have gills in that? He could just keep it from one show to the next.
He has things that go up at the back of his neck sensing danger.
Well, you know, that's sort of a bit amphibianish, isn't it?
A little bit. Yeah. What is the name of his species in the new Star Trek? I don't know. You should watch the new Star Trek. It's also really good, but very, very different and much more surrealist.
Yeah.
And this is a... It's a romance in the classical sense, and it has a villain, as every great romantic fairy tale does, and who's played by Michael Shannon, and who is a menacing and amazing actor in everything he's ever done. But this is particularly interesting because usually when you have a semi-one-dimensional, irredeemable villain, yeah, not really multifaceted or complicated, then this is a really complex villain, and they invest a lot of time building this character and making him more menacing, and they just build on layer and layer and layer of how much you can despise this character. And Michael Shannon does it absolutely to a T. He is amazing on screen with Sally Hawkins and Michael Stolberg, who is in, who's had a really good agent. He did The Post. He was in The Post as well. He was in Calling by Your Name. He's had a good year.
How do you remember all these names?
I have
trouble remembering my own name.
I'm currently calling for the internet right now. Stolberg. IMDb.
Oh, it's great to have you on. I don't know whether you, did you see, what's the movie, Three Billboards?
Yeah.
Yes. Did you see that one? Because Kevin made the call last week on Celluloid Dreams that this was going to be the film of the year. He's really impressed with it. Are you the same? Do you like it?
I enjoyed aspects of this film. It has won the Golden Globe for Best Picture. It will likely be nominated for Best Academy Award. I know there's numbers who love it, and there's a number of people who do not like it at all.
Oh, okay.
I feel this is
These other Film Fight Club members? Is there anyone that doesn't like it?
Oh, actually, yes.
And
we had a bit of an interesting, we'll be having a bit of an interesting discussion on this one. There are a number of critics out there who are pretty divided. I enjoyed this as a character drama purely for three of the performers, and that was Frances McDormand in the main role, Sam Rockwell, who also won a performance award at the Golden Globes, and for Woody Harrelson, who has a key role in this film. I felt a lot of the other characters were undeveloped, and as was the plot, I feel purely as a character study of these three quite amazing performances. You can enjoy it. It is set in Ebbing, Missouri, as the title might suggest. It is about, the murder of the main character's young daughter and her quest to get the police force to bring the perpetrator to justice. And it is from Martin McDonagh, who made In Bruges, and it is quite a very dark comedy. And I loved where they took some of the characters. I think it was very gutsy. I think it was very different. And it tried to deal with, can you redeem certain terrible people for terrible things? And while the actors certainly did this element of plot justice, the dynamics of where they took the narrative, I wanted to see more. I could have watched this as a TV series. I wanted to see it go on for an extra 40 minutes. But they cut it at a point where I feel it was undercooked. We wanted to know more about these guys. Who are they? Where were they going? And we didn't get it. Leaves you wanting more, and that isn't always a good thing. And I don't think it's the best thing with
this
film.
That's what they say. Leave it wanting more,
but just a little bit more. Just like enough to bring a sequel.
Not too much more.
Yeah, and enough to be like, oh, we want a sequel to this film. And it's finally like with The Incredibles. Like they had that little bit at the end. We need more. We need more. And it's finally happening. Mamma Mia did the same. They hinted at the sequel. Mamma Mia, the sequel is happening. The film we all wanted, isn't it?
Well, look, I'd watch this just for Frances McDormand or McDormand. Is it just use the Scottish pronunciation? McDormand? No.
I think it's McDormand.
But she is phenomenal. Just for her. I think she's lovely.
She's incredible. Yeah, any Fargo fan out there will.
Oh, yes, exactly. Oh, Fargo. I've watched it a number of times, which I normally don't do. So, anyway, look, I think we should wrap it up there because that's four movies done. Gone a bit over the top there, haven't we?
We powered through.
Glenn Falkenstein from Film Fight Club, thank you for coming in to The Daily. And